T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
We got a band talking about Zach. Zach Wilson doesn't exist.
All right, we're late already. It's 5 o'clock.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Go ahead.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
That was all Andre's fault. He got me annoyed. No offense, Andre. We appreciate the call, and you sound like a great guy. Your points annoyed me.
By the way, real quickly, Tiki, if the Jets have 3 wins, do they trade Tyron Smith at the deadline or ban for the locker room?
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere, and by Wendy's. Try the new Pretzel Baconator today. All right, it's bracket season, so I'm going to give you the 5 most played out brackets you will see this week. The most unfunny, unoriginal ideas on social media, radio, TV alike, okay, that you will see that people go, aha, look, I have something funny. Ready? Get the bit? Here we go.
Not really.
Here we go!
Number 5.
The bracket of the best athletes of all time. Don't look now. Somewhere there will be a cheap MJ versus LeBron 5 versus 12 debate coming up.
Oh, I get what you, I get the bit now.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that one. Okay.
All right. Here we go.
Kareem.
Number 4.
I'm right into it.
A bracket of the best presidents of all time. Taft versus Eisenhower.
Taft versus Eisenhower. Well, that's an interesting matchup.
Yeah.
Speaking of presidents, I had a whole discussion about how overrated FDR was over the weekend. Huh. Like an in-depth, like...
The drive of the president?
Okay, with whom?
With my mom.
Oh, my God.
She's
Jeez.
Like, I just saw this documentary about FDR. He was so wonderful. I'm like, are you freaking kidding me?
Oh, my God.
And, yeah, we talked about it for a long time.
Best president, first president.
Yeah. Oh, I agree with you on that. That's the problem with that bracket. Like, it's George Washington and Abe Lincoln in the finals. Everything else is window dressing. And then I agree with you. I would take Washington. But if it's not Washington and Lincoln, what are we doing? Like, I mean, you're...
Get that.
You're just a hack if it's not. Like, what are we talking about? Where are you going to stick? Who are you sticking in there?
Kennedy?
You stick Woodrow Wilson. John Kennedy was there for 5 minutes.
Not his fault.
And at the well, Bay of Pigs was. You're going to give him credit for that? How about getting into Vietnam? Don't get me started on Kennedy, too. Anyhow, go ahead.
Sorry.
Number three.
Bracket of the best TV shows of all time. Spoiler alert. Friends. It's going to end up being The Sopranos that wins.
Friends
is the best TV show of all time. Now you get me to bite into the own bit I'm doing.
So in 2002, I did a radio show at XM Satellite Radio. Okay, it was just XM. And we had about 250 listeners, because that's when the satellites went in the sky, and we just started. I had a radio show.
It's before they got serious.
And we did a bracket of the greatest TV show of all time before they got serious. Do you want to recognize the results of that 22 years later?
Yes, tell us.
Do you want to hear it?
Okay, go ahead.
The finals did not age well. The champion did not age well.
Was it Cheers?
I will say that Seinfeld lost in the finals, and it had just gone off the air 4 years earlier, but the winner did not age well.
Who was
it?
The
Cosby Show.
The Cosby Show.
Oh, God.
No, I mean...
This was just TV shows, not
just
sitcoms?
Just TV shows of all time.
And this is your bracket?
This was a bracket at XM. It wasn't just me. I put it together, but, you know, calls, you know.
Did the hokey bit I'm coming up with here.
22 years ago! Can you cut me some slack? Yes.
The Cosby Show was pretty damn good, though.
The best show of all time.
But can it win that? Can it win that today?
Not in the hell, no.
Would it even be in the field today?
It would be St. John's today.
But that's my only point, like... You're right. Like, I have no regrets about the way that...
It's so inundated now, because we're talking about, I don't know, on-demand shows.
We've got a bigger field of
shows.
Yeah, but hold on. The Cosby Show is not in the bracket because there's more options.
Oh,
I know. Not in the bracket because of what we found out about Bill.
I understand that, but I'm not even sure Seinfeld.
You're wrong. Tiki.
You just blurted out Friends 3 minutes ago. Now, Seinfeld wouldn't be in the bracket?
I was joking about Friends.
I hope.
No, you shouldn't be joking. Friends is in the Final Four. If we did a TV show, absolutely, yes.
What are you talking about? Friends is not one of the four greatest shows of all time.
If we did, and we're not going to, but if we did like a bracket of TV shows, you're damn right. Friends would get to the Elite Eight.
But it would have to be, are we talking like network TV shows? Are we talking?
Every TV show in the history of television. It would
network
get to the final
vision. So I can't like say Doctor Who, which was BBC, and now it's on Disney Plus.
No, I think you could include that. I think you include every TV show ever created. I think Friends would still get there.
The only way Friends gets to the Elite Eight or Final Four is if there's a separate, you know, that portion of the bracket sitcoms and
no.
it comes out of there.
Why? What shows are so ahead of them?
First of all, The Sopranos.
Why?
The Wire.
Why is The
Breaking Bad?
Yeah. No. Just because you keep saying it doesn't make it true.
No, it does make it
Friends
true.
Friends is single-handedly one of the funniest shows
Game
in the
of
history.
Thrones.
Have you watched Breaking Bad?
I've watched all those shows, all those crappy shows, yes.
Game of Thrones?
I saw like one episode.
Okay, you're out of this. By
number
way,
two.
The bit I'm making fun of we're having live on the radio.
That was on purpose.
The top five most played out brackets you'll see this week. Best movies of all time comes in at number two. Yeah. The Godfather versus Forrest Gump.
Goonies.
The Goonies.
Goonies.
I tried to put the Goonies on for my kids a couple of months ago.
Don't hold up. Dude. You gotta understand it. Like gunshots for 10-year-olds.
Yeah. It's a little too much.
It's a little too much for kids these days. But I loved it when I was 8 or 9 or whatever the hell it came out.
All right. And last but not least.
Number one.
This one you see all over Twitter. The best fast food restaurants of all time bracket. By the way, the winner is Wendy's. Try the new pretzel baconator today.
Ooh.
All right. Man, that's single day 5.
See what you did there. No argument needed.
Very nice. Say good to 5 every day at 5 o'clock. We'll get back to your calls in a second, but there is something that has grown in me for the last few weeks. And yesterday, it kind of met its boiling point. And that is, we are a week and a half away from opening day. We have made it. We are almost at the baseball season. A week from Thursday, the Yankees are in Houston. The Mets are at home against the Milwaukee Brewers. And Tiki, I've tried really, really hard to look at spring training results, but not get nuts.
Yeah.
But not get nuts. Not get crazy about things. I've had an opinion for the last few months that I had with Sean, I think it was a day you were off, in which I begged the New York Mets, I pleaded with them, get me one more stick.
Mm-hmm.
That was my point. Just get me one more bat. I believe that if you get this team one more bat, the complexion of this lineup is different, and my feel for the season would be different. Now, I have hope in this Mets season, but there are a lot of things that are going to have to go right. Specifically, bounce back seasons, Starling Marte, Jeff McNeil, and breakout seasons from some young players. Specifically, either Beatty or Vientos, who are currently battling for third base. Neither guy has had a big camp. Vientos did hit a home run the other day, but neither guy has torn it up. Now, that doesn't mean both guys should go to the minors. That doesn't mean the Mets need to go out and a third baseman. But the Mets right now are relying on both guys because both guys are going to need to play. Because the guy who's not playing third base is going to DH a lot. That's just the way the Mets are built. And if that guy's not DHing a lot, then maybe DJ Stewart is DHing a lot, not a young player. Or maybe G-Man Choi is DHing a lot, not a young player. Or maybe Joey Wendell is taking turns in the infield, which means one of the regulars is DHing.
Yeah.
That's not a young player. It is becoming so painfully obvious, and it's so easy. Write the check, Steve. It's so easy. Just sign J.D. Martinez. Just do it. The guy hit 33 home runs last year and drove in over 100 runs. Yes, he's 36 years old. I get it. I guess he's a little bit older. And there's always the risk that J.D. Martinez will start to decline. And it looked like he was declining a couple of years ago. But last year, he had a monster season. It's just money. You're not losing draft picks. You're not even losing playing time for young players. Because Vientos and Beatty are playing anyway. So does Steve Cohen. And I saw him at the media yesterday. He didn't say anything about this other than, oh, it's awful late to add a player. That's BS. It's never awfully late to add a player. You may add a player off waivers right before the start of the season. Sean may add Gio Urshela right before the season. Like, you can add a player. This is about writing a check. That's all it is. And we could sit here and debate, well, is J.D. Martinez worth 110% off of his salary? I don't care anymore, bro. Makes sense.
Okay.
He fits, and it's obvious.
Yes, he does, but why does it feel so urgent if you don't know that it's going to be a problem?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Like, I know what you're saying. These kids are young. They're going to be put in situations where they're going to have to hit.
Yeah.
Right? Not necessarily hit home runs, but you got to hit. You can't just be walks and singles. You're going to need some extra base hits in certain moments if you're DHing, right? So why not wait? Because I feel like that's what the overall approach for David Stearns is for the Mets.
Wait for what?
Just wait. Let me see.
Wait for what?
Observe. Let me see what this team is about. Let's see what we're willing to commit money to. It feels like they are, let's play this thing out as it's given to us, not let's go be aggressive and try to do irrational things.
It's not irrational. It's not a, nothing I've said in the last 5 minutes is irrational. It's improving this lineup by just writing a check. That's all it is. And again, I get the point, Evan, if J.D. Martinez is asking for $20 million a year, can you really pay him $45 million? Because that's 110% on the tax. I get it's an enormous amount of money. And hopefully J.D. Martinez's ask is coming down. But from a baseball standpoint, this is a no-brainer. You are not blocking young players. That's not true. You are improving your chances at winning. And I commend the plan that the Mets have. I commend David Stearns. I commend Steve Cohen. They have a plan. But a part of their plan is we want to evaluate young players while trying to win. Steve Cohen said yesterday, make the playoffs. That's our goal for the season.
Right.
David Stearns has said, make the playoffs. That's our goal for the season. If you want to make the playoffs, go add J.D. Martinez. Again, it doesn't take at-bats away from young players. Vientos and Beatty are going to share third base and get plenty of at-bats. J.D. will probably have a stint on the IL, which means someone's DHing. They'll get at-bats. But all you need to do, do it yourself. Don't make me do it. Look at the Met roster and ask yourself who's DHing every night. Because when this season starts a week from Thursday, one of the things that happens in the afternoons is we get the lineups. And I'll say, hey, Teak, interested in the Met lineup? Interested in the Yankee lineup?
Let me hear it.
Some days you'll say, not really. Some days you'll say, yeah, I'm curious. Are you going to be content with who the Mets are putting out there at DH every single night? Because I can tell you right now who those names are. Those names are DJ Stewart. Yeah. Those names are Vientos or Beatty with the other one playing third base. The name is Joey Wendell playing second base with McNeil DHing. Or maybe it's G-Man Choi. That's not acceptable.
Now, how long until it's a problem? That's really the question.
Right now.
Well, for you right now, it's a problem. But for the Mets themselves, how long until it's a problem? Like, when will we get to the point where we're saying they lost that game because they didn't have a guy in the 7-hole that could actually hit?
I don't think it's the 7-hole. I think it's the 5-hole. I think if you sign J.D. Martinez, he's batting fifth or sixth.
Him, yes. But I'm just saying, is Vientos as a DH going to be in the 5-hole?
No.
Exactly. Neither is Beatty. Right? Neither is none of these guys will be.
It's a problem immediately, Tiki, because I think that the Mets are relying on two guys specifically in Beatty and Vientos to at the same time become the guys they hope them to be. When the truth is they should only be hoping one of them pans out. One of them panning out is possible. But right now, both of those guys almost have to play every freaking day.
But doesn't that feel like where the Mets are right now?
No. Because they both can, they're still going to get to play.
I'm not talking about where you want them to be. I'm talking about where they actually are.
No, still disagree with you. No, because they will get the opportunity to be evaluated. And that's what this is all about. You've said it. I agree with you. They need to be evaluated. Guess what? They'll be evaluated either way. They will get to play either way. We are a week and a half away from the start of this season. And I got to read a report from John Heyman. You know, J.D. Martinez prefers the Mets. He's warming up to the Mets. Then go make it happen. Go make it happen. I don't see a good reason why it shouldn't happen. I've run out of reasons why it shouldn't happen because the only reason anyone can come up with is a check. It's too expensive.
Mm-hmm.
I don't live in that world anymore. I don't want to play in that world anymore. It's too expensive. Steve Cohen said, he was asked yesterday, hey, any restrictions? Could you add somebody? And he said, it's up to David Stearns. Okay. If it's up to David Stearns, David knows. David knows the deal.
The man
David
from Milwaukee.
He understands what this team needs. Go at a bat. A month and a half ago, Sean Morash sat there and said, what difference does it make? See how well that worked for Hillary Clinton. Don't give me what difference does it make. It makes a freaking difference, bro.
Can I change my tune a second?
Oh, you changed your mind.
I have changed my mind for two reasons. Number one, I'm looking at my own situation with the Yankees. Same reason I'm calling for a DJ LeMahieu replacement in that, guess what? You're a Vientos, Wendell, Beatty. What if one of those guys goes down?
The depth
only gets thinner.
I understand.
So from that standpoint, yes. Number two, just like the Justin Fields situation, we are a week away from opening day. What is the J.D. Martinez price tag? Because there's no way it's the same price tag it was 3 weeks ago.
It can't be. And if all of a sudden that price tag is, let's say, $11 million a year, now we're talking about the price tag really being $26 million a year. That's not terrible. Because the truth is, if he goes 33 and 103, he's worth it. He's worth it.
Right.
So I implore the New York Mets, the man from Milwaukee, the owner from his ivory tower, just go at him. That's it. I'm good with everything you're doing. I have some optimism about this season, but that would really move the needle on what this team could do. And he's sitting there, and he's waiting. Get it done.
And they've been sitting there for months, Evan. I keep bringing up the punting situation, but Martinez doesn't fit their plans. They keep telling us about all their minor league system and their young players, and they've signed all these pitchers that half of us haven't even heard of, and we all play fantasy baseball. So it doesn't fit their plan. That's why. Because you've been screaming it for months about a bat,
but I'll tell you why that's not true. I believe Joel Sherman. I think he's a damn good reporter, okay? Joel Sherman said the Mets were finalists for J.D. Davis. What were you doing with J.D. Davis? And I'll tell you the answer.
So this bothers you because if they're looking at J.D. Davis, why are they not looking at J.D. Martinez?
And don't tell me his position versatility. His position versatility is third base and first base. Where the hell is he going to do that? Mark Vientos plays third base and first base, and you claim you're trying to evaluate him. So if you have an interest in J.D. Davis, who is not a part of your future, then obviously you looked at him as a fit for this team. Why is he a fit and not J.D. Martinez? And there's only one answer. There's only one answer. Money.
Okay, and what's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that. It's tough for us to accept that.
Well, it's tough for you and maybe some Mets fans.
Well, I'm one of them who's saying it's tough to accept
that. But if you're David Stearns, one of the reasons that you are slow playing this season the way that they are is because you don't want to needlessly spend
33 home runs and 100 RBIs different than J.D. Davis.
But it's one year, so you're winning for now. It's like desperation for now. Let's load up so we can win now.
It's not desperation. It's just, you're trying to win.
But why
are you getting J.D. Davis?
Because you don't know what Vientos and Beatty are
to play.
I understand that.
It's not affecting their at-bats. That's great. The thing that drives me freaking nuts about this.
One of them develops into a superior third baseman vis-a-vis the other one, right? And then the other guy becomes a designated hitter, right? And he actually thrives in that role. Does that not set you up for a longer-term future rather than bringing in a one-year deal for J.D. Martinez? Because think about the reasons that we know that they're not looking at, say, Jordan Montgomery, who's likely going to sign a 3 or 4 year deal with opt-outs after every year. Does it do them any good? Because they're going to opt out after the first year.
I think J.D. is very different than Jordan Montgomery, though. I think the pitching thing is very different. This is a one-year bat. He's 36 years old. You don't want him to be a part of your future anyway. You're trying to win right now while evaluating your guys.
What happens if you can win right now and evaluate those guys?
Well, that's what signing J.D. Martinez does. It allows you to evaluate your guys because you're not taking a significant amount of at-bats away from either guy, and you're trying to win right now. You're doing both.
I think they have more faith in those guys than you do.
Oh, that's what it comes clearly. But then again, not so much because they were interested in J.D. Davis 3 days ago.
Can we just say this?
Supposedly.
If the man from Milwaukee is more interested in J.D. Davis than J.D. Martinez, and I got a question if he's the right guy for the job, are you kidding me?
It's not about David Stearns, though. That's about money. That's about maybe our fearless leader does have a cap on the amount of money he's willing to spend. And granted, he has spent a lot of money, and I appreciate that. He bought prospects last year. But there's no good reason for going after J.D. Davis over J.D. Martinez other than money.
But can't Stearns ask for more money?
I'm sure he is. I'm not in the private room to know that. I'm merely saying that that's the only reason. There's no other reason. What are you smiling about there, Chunks?
I'm just hearing you rail about not spending money and all this and just don't. I mean, we're real scared about the Mets stealing Soto from the
Yankees. This has nothing to do with Juan Soto. And I'm not talking about Juan Soto. And
yet it has everything to
do with Juan Soto's next year. By the way, you know what I'm scared about with Juan Soto?
What is that?
Not scared about with Juan Soto.
It's already feeling like it's perfect fit with the Yankees?
No, I live in this alternate universe where I didn't make this stupid deal of coloring my beard and half shaving it. And I think about, hey, in that alternate universe where the beard kept growing, when would Pete Alonso finally sign? He's not signing until after Juan Soto signs. So whenever the hell Juan Soto decides whatever team he's going to be on, that's going to happen, and then Pete Alonso's going to wait till February.
Okay, so what you should be afraid of?
Everything.
I mean, genuinely afraid of?
Yeah.
Is that he signs with the Mets and Pete's no longer here.
Well, I mean.
Because that's more likely what could happen.
But then I have Juan Soto, so that'll.
Yeah, he'll change his tune. And you'll see how much he cares about Pete Alonso then.
That's right. That's what you're talking about. Right. We'll get to your calls next, 877-337-6666. Evan and Tiki on this wonderful Monday. We have an NCAA tournament beginning in a couple of days. I guess technically it begins tomorrow with the first four, which I have a tough time looking at as the actual NCAA tournament. Yeah, that's just me.
Like it. Even though Virginia's playing in that, so I'll be watching. But
even more so for you, it shouldn't feel like it.
Exactly. It almost is annoying that I have to watch it.
Yeah. Are you gonna watch?
Of course. I mean, Virginia, and they're in a tournament ish.
I mean, tournament ish.
See, you two just hit on the biggest debate of March.
What's up?
How do you pronounce what we're about to watch?
Tournament.
Tiki?
NCAA tournament.
Yep. Oh, yeah. You're saying tournament. It's tournament.
Tournament versus tournament. Which
tournament.
Is
tournament. 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 I could easily be persuaded to say it the other way.
How do you say it there?
I said for years tournament, and I was corrected by Ian Eagle.
That it's tournament?
It's tournament.
Really?
Huh. Yes.
I was corrected.
So I was saying it correct.
Yes.
I used to call it tournament, and then there was an angry emailer to the radio station about a decade ago who emailed everybody that worked here. Francesa, me, Craig, Beningo, Boomer. They all got these emails saying, you know, I love the radio station, but you guys all pronounce it wrong. It's tournament, not tournament. So that gentleman made me change my view. I was like, you know what? Mm. That guy cares so much that he's individually emailing everybody at the radio station. I'm going to buy it. So now you're trying to tell me that that man was a liar?
I think it is a very much Northeast thing to call it a tournament, and the rest of the country calls it a tournament. And the play-by-play guys, if you listen closely, call them tournament.
I trust Ian Eagle. And Ian Eagle is the face now of the NCAA tournament. Because Jim Nance finally left us. So now we've got the brilliance of Ian Eagle calling the Final Four and the national championship.
You think Ian Eagle cut off his tie and give it to the winning MVP?
Is he going to do that? No, that's not the dopey tradition that Nance has. Mm.
Yes, thank you.
What do you think Ian's going to do? He's got to think of something better, something more awesome, something Ian Eagle-like.
I think he doesn't do anything.
You don't think he does anything?
Hand the ball to the ref.
Hand the ball to the ref. Act like you've been there before.
Okay.
Don't do anything weird and quirky.
I got you. So, fitting for you to say something like that.
Says the guy with green and white on his beard.
Well, I'm just trying to get out of my beard bed. Like, that's all I'm at right now. Let's go to Thomas in Queensbury, New York. What's up, Thomas?
Yeah, I'd like to suggest an Evan Roberts programming event.
Go ahead.
First off, you need a Bible.
I need a Bible, okay? How about my Mets Bible? Does that work?
No. It's a religious ceremony.
All right.
You need to place your hand on the Bible.
Right.
And pledge never to make another beard bet again.
Well, you know what's funny about that, Thomas? I still don't look at this, even though I referred to it just 10 seconds ago and you did, as a bet. It wasn't a bet. Like, all this was back in November was my loyalty to Pete Alonso, who I'm very loyal to. And I said that until Pete gets the extension he deserves, I'm not going to cut my hair. Now, the hair did turn into a beard, which occurred soon after Pete was spotted at a Knicks game, and that gave me the false confidence and false hope that he would sign said extension. So it's not a bet. It's my loyalty as a sports fan. And I think a part of it is I've been hurt way too often. Like, I've seen way too many athletes on teams I love, for whatever reason, some because of them, some because of the team, leave too early. Like, it pains me. It bothers me. Whether it's Darrell Revis, whether it was Jose Reyes, whether it was even recently with Jacob deGrom. It affects me as a fan. And so I don't know. Maybe I thought in this weird world.
You were going to influence it?
Yeah, like my loyalty to Pete, who I am very loyal to.
Are you traditionally superstitious? Are you normally superstitious?
I don't think it was about superstition.
I mean, clearly it was.
No, it was about loyalty. It was, I won't do this. It's like a hunger strike. No, you know,
but you were trying to affect something with an unrelated action.
Yes.
That it's not the butterfly flapping its wings thing, right, that causes a tsunami or a hurricane or whatever it does.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You just felt solidarity. It wasn't, maybe this will effectuate what I want to happen.
Let me ask you a question. You're a patriotic American like I am.
Yes.
Do you believe in protest?
I do.
I mean, our country was formed with one giant protest. We told those British, enough's enough.
Mm.
Sorry. No tax without representation. And we told them to go bleep themselves. And we essentially protested.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I wasn't around for Vietnam War, but people protested the Vietnam War.
Sure.
Protest is a thing. Protest in our country is a beautiful thing. Beautiful thing. Maybe it was just a protest.
Mm.
Maybe my way of protesting was, I will not cut my beard until you do what we want.
Okay, protests only work if the people who you're protesting against see it and hear about it and care about it.
Well,
think Steve Cohen or David Stearns? Well, I guess he's seen it.
Yeah, he has seen it.
But not colored.
Yeah.
But do you think he cares about it?
I mean, he cared enough. We had a conversation about the beard, absolutely.
You're also rewriting history a little bit.
How about rewriting history?
Your hair was a protest, as you put it.
I agree.
Your beard was a bet.
No, it was a caveat. Like, I said I wouldn't cut my hair until Pete signed. You're right.
Right.
I spotted Alonzo at a Knicks game.
But hold on.
And thought.
Yeah, but time out. The hair, we weren't involved in.
No, that was his own thing, which is why it's his protest.
That was your protest.
Correct.
The beard was Sean being, I don't know, opportunistic about your callousness or your whatever you believed was going to happen with Pete Alonso at the Rangers game. And he's like, that's a chance for me to make a bet.
Because there was confidence, Tiki, in Evan's voice. He said, the last time this happened, it's odd. The only reason you agreed to grow the beard is because in your mind, I'm not really going to have to grow the beard. He's going to sign within a week.
That is true.
That at its core is the product of a bet.
Okay, it's sort of a bet, but it wasn't a full bet. It was just I saw him at a Rangers game. I feel sort of positive that this is going to happen, and you got me. Let's be honest. You took advantage of me in a moment of weakness.
I'm like a Seahawk facing Daniel Jones on Monday Night Football. Opportunistic.
No, and you were, and you took advantage of it. Now, at the end of the day, we have made a deal. I've colored my beard. I mean, look at it today. If you're watching on SNY, I've got the green that looks pretty damn good, but the white, I mean, what the hell happened?
It's getting sad.
It is.
It's very, very sad.
It's,
now,
like,
you,
it's like your beard paint is like quitting on you.
It's true, and unfortunately, I'm using white tomorrow, too, because you know what tomorrow is?
What?
Red, white, and blue. That's right. Doing a little red, white, and blue action.
Why?
Why not?
Oh, okay.
I mean, why? why anything?
I don't know.
Rangers?
I don't know. I was asking. America?
I think two things. Number one, America. And number two, I'm recording a video for that London trip I'm making. Oh. And I don't know if you know this, but red, white, and blue is also the colors of England. True story.
This is fact.
So I figured, go red, white, and blue. So I got to use the white tomorrow, probably in the middle of my chin. And then the red and the blue are going to be like on the opposites.
That's because when they were designing the flag, they didn't want other yarns.
Is that the real reason?
We already have the British yarns. Let's just use them differently.
That's a good thing.
I'm just kidding. I don't know if that's actually fact.
There's no way that's true. Let's go to Eli in Connecticut. Hey, Eli.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're good.
Hey, I just wanted to share a story with you guys. I ran into my high school English teacher at a coffee shop, and she asked me, "How are you doing, Eli?" And I said, "I'm doing good." She said, "What?"
That's an adjective.
"I'm doing good." Said, "Good at what?" She said, "No, it's I'm well." When someone asks you how you are doing,
no. If you use a verb in front, you use well. If you just say I'm good, you're just good. But if you're doing something, you have to use an adverb, which is well. You understand?
What?
Good is an adjective, right? Well is an adverb. So if you use a verb in front of it, you have to say, well, doing well. I was right. You know what I mean? But I'm good.
Yeah.
Is the way to if you just want to say I'm good.
Are you saying Eli's English teacher was wrong?
No, she was right. He's just misinterpreting it a little bit.
Yeah. You know, it's safe to say I got a 12 in English.
That explains a lot. It's funny. I don't know the reasons. You just explained the reasons for why well works and good doesn't. But my ears do ring when someone says they're doing good.
Right. But like, if you say I'm doing good, it's like I'm doing good work. Like I'm doing something good.
Right.
What are you doing out here, I don't know, giving soup to the homeless? I'm doing good.
Yes.
Right? So it's, but you're not talking about yourself.
No, I listen, you've explained it very nicely. I'd never known the reason other than I know that's not right. That's the way I've always been. Right. Just, hey, if someone asks you how you're doing, I'd say, I'm doing well. Thanks. I wouldn't say, I'm good. Actually, wait a second. I think I do say I'm good.
I'm good.
Wait,
I'm
you
good.
Can say I'm good.
You can say it. It's either I'm good or I'm doing well.
You can't say I'm doing good.
Yeah, doing good is wrong unless you're actually doing good, like giving somebody, like, I don't know.
Pancakes.
Yeah, pancakes.
Okay. Wait, real quick, though.
What?
I did have a tweet on Saturday that I got corrected on.
Which is?
Who is going to play in less games, Tyron Smith or Aaron Rodgers? And everybody corrected me saying it's fewer, you idiot.
Well, no, hold on a second. That's not what I saw. What I saw from you over the weekend was actually embarrassing.
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought it up because it didn't make any sense to me.
Okay.
And I was very, very deeply confused with what's happening. But yeah, Sean Morash, of course, being the, you know, Sean Morash that he is, asked a very passive-aggressive, douchey-like question, who plays in less games this year? Tyron Smith, except his name is not Tyrone.
It's Tyron
Smith or Aaron Rodgers. So first of all, you screwed up the guy's name.
Have
you apologized to him?
No, I added an E as my kids climbing all over me to grab the remote for Peppa Pig.
Okay.
Sorry.
So that's what he writes. Someone writes, Sean, you're a joke, Y-O-U apostrophe R-E, which is correct. Sean, you're a joke.
Yeah.
Sean writes back, Y-O-U-R, as if he's correcting this person.
Thank you for the joke, Ed.
To which everybody loses their mind on Sean, and I agree with them, like, dude, you're an idiot. You're correcting someone for a your that wasn't even incorrect. So I still don't understand the joke, other than you're really, really stupid.
No, that's the joke. I clearly got Tyron Smith's name spelling wrong, so when he corrected me and told me your, I was false correcting him with a fake
you. I don't buy that. I believe you don't know the difference between your and your.
Play your little posted and toasted game. I've done the your with an apostrophe like 15 times to people.
Yeah, probably because you keep getting corrected for not knowing the difference.
Because it's something where I get them enraged when they don't realize I'm playing the joke on them. But the bottom line is this, less or fewer, that's the one I was concerned with.
Who plays in less games this year? Who plays in fewer games this year?
Why is it fewer and not less?
I don't know. To me, it seems like they would both be fine.
Right. But every Jet fan apparently claims they went to English school and it's fewer.
Really?
It's definitely fewer.
You may be right. I
don't know why, though.
That didn't jump out at me. When I read the tweet, the thing that jumped out at me is A, you're a hater, and B, his name is not Tyrone.
Both are correct.
Fewer sounds better for whatever reason.
Right.
But I don't know the actual reason.
Interesting.
Wow, I stumped Tiki on an English question.
Because that's a tough one, I admit. And I responded to you by saying the answer is Daniel Jones.
Which is also probably true.
Real quick, I saw something ESPN is doing.
Haterish. That's haterish.
What was that?
That's haterish.
Well, I mean, like, think about what the tweet was initially.
I was being haterish on purpose.
I saw something that ESPN is debuting this year, so I want to get ahead of the curve here on this, because not that everyone's going to be watching opening day, which is in 2 days. The Dodgers and the Padres are playing at 6 a.m. to open up the baseball season, or whatever. But ESPN is adding something new to their score bug. The score bug is obviously the graphic that says the score, the count, how many guys are on base. And I believe the score bug is one of the great inventions in all of sports. I mean, can you imagine watching a sporting event and not knowing the score of the game as you're watching it? How much time is left in a game as you're watching it? In the case of baseball, how many guys are on base? What the count is while you're watching it? So I commend them. But ESPN is adding something that I think is a major, major mistake. Do you know what they're adding?
No.
I forget how they phrase it. But the percentage that team is going to win the game. Now,
at any particular moment.
At any moment of the game. So, like, when the game begins, it's called win probability. That's the correct way to refer to it. Win probability. So, when the game starts, it's the Dodgers against the Padres. The win probability for the Dodgers is probably, let's say, 54%. They're clearly favorites.
Right.
So, it will probably start at 54%. And as the game goes on, and these are numbers you can see live anyway, it's mostly associated with gambling, that number changes.
Yeah, they do this in football.
But they don't show it to you all the time.
No. Oh, I feel like they
not
do
all
sometimes.
The time.
No, they whoop it out after something's already happened.
Bingo. And here's why this is a mistake, in my humble opinion. If
yeah,
you're
right,
flipping
you're right.
through a baseball game, okay, and you see the win probability is 92%, that jumps out at you because you see it on the scoreboard. You know what you're probably going to do? You're probably going to shut the game off.
Huh.
I think ESPN's plan is going to backfire. And I understand they're getting in bed with gambling. We all are, right? I do FanDuel reads. I'm not anti-gambling. I'm anti what this is actually going to do. Like, win probability, I do find fascinating at certain moments. I think Sean said it best, after a game is over. Like, oh, wow, what a comeback that was. In fact, you know how amazing that comeback was? Their win probability was 97%. Like, I agree. Sometimes I find that fascinating. But if you're going to show that at all times on TV, SNY, if you're watching, don't do it. I'm giving you some friendly advice. Not that I'm shutting the Met game off. Could be 13-1. I'll still be watching you guys. But I think the win probability thing's a big problem. Now, am I crazy?
Yes.
Why?
Because there's a clock in football that factors into the win probability. There's no clock. There's a pitch clock, but there's no clock in baseball. So even if it's 92%, it's not like, well, because there's 2 minutes left in the game. As long as you have a couple of outs, a couple at bats, you can come back. So I don't think it'll backfire that perspective.
No, but Louie, I agree with you. Okay, so I love baseball in that there is no clock. Like, you never know when a comeback could occur. But you don't think to the casual fan who's flipping around, who's like, I'm not even sure which team is that good. Let me see what's going on. And you see there's a 90% win probability no matter what inning, no matter how many outs. You don't think that plays a game mentally to cause someone to say, 92%.
No,
I'm
because
out.
I think you can look at it. The other perspective is that, hey, I could see a really cool comeback here because, look, they were 90% chance to win. We talk about that all the time in the NFL. This team had a 95% chance to win that game, and it didn't happen. We discuss that a lot. So maybe it brings a little more intrigue, a little more drama to baseball by showing that, wow, they had a 96% chance, and they lost.
I don't
How cool
that.
Is that?
No, I think that what's going to happen is it's, you know, Yankees, Angels, Sunday Night Baseball, 7-1 Yanks, sixth inning, 92 win percent probability. My wife looks over looking to have Nookie for the first time in a month, and she's going to go, really? Going to sit here and finish these three innings, and I got to leave the TV.
Well, aren't you leaving the TV anyway? I mean, if your wife comes up to you, even me.
Let's
even
be honest.
Me. Yeah. As someone who's scoring every game, if my wife, right. we have that moment because the kids are sleeping, I don't give a damn if it's 2-2 in the eighth. Actually, you know what?
But you're the one scoring the game, Ev. You right. can't leave scoring the game.
I pause it.
But regular
what? People would just turn it off and that'd be it.
They would just quit it. All right, I have an answer for you.
All right.
Tell about me, the win, about the percentage, or are you going back to the rabbit hole?
I always get in rabbit holes. You know that. Tell me your sentence again.
Okay. Who is going to play in less games? Tyron Smith, or Aaron Rodgers?
Got it. So, things that can be counted, like okay. games,
okay.
you use fewer.
All right.
Things that can't necessarily be counted, like effort, you use less. Time, you would also say less, even though time can be counted. So you'd say fewer minutes
okay.
or fewer seconds. But if you were using time as a generality, you say less time. So because you can count games, you use fewer. Make sense? Things that can
okay.
be counted.
I totally see what you're saying. Now I understand it. I will close with this. The English language, too many rules. Stupid.
I'm curious.
Yes.
Was win probability that boring, or was the English that interesting? I promise I wouldn't be offended by either answer.
I just go in holes, man.
Oh, so if the win probability
I hear you.
Did not right. even affect your brain on this? It was simply...
Don't we all, Teague?
yes. Especially watching.
Especially in the seventh inning of a baseball game.
True detective.
Let me ask you a hypothetical question.
If I don't know something,
yes.
I endeavor to find out.
No, and I'm
just naturally curious that way.
I like admire
when I
that.
Genuinely don't know an answer, it bothers me.
Okay, let me ask you a question. You are now trying to figure out the less or fewer situation.
And I heard the entire conversation.
Understand.
That
but let's say I brought up something that really interests Tiki Barber. Hold on. I got this. Aliens really exist.
They probably...
And anyone who...
There's a probability that they do exist.
No, no. Aliens
the probability
came...
that they came to this planet is infinitesimal.
Right. Aliens came from Mars, and they migrated on Earth, okay? Basically, that's what happened. And that's the discussion what happened.
Yes.
Would you be like, you know what? I really want to opine on this, but man, I am so in that grammar hole. I'm going back in the grammar hole. Or would you say, I'm so interested in this, I got to comment on this?
I'm just curious. I would have commented on that.
Okay.
Hey.
So it was partially that
because
the win
you would,
probability
you would find them, but you wouldn't find them until you dug through the eroded errors of time.
Oh, you're going to the alien thing again.
I think there's fewer aliens now than there were in 1959. Less of a chance that we'll see aliens.
Now, in your opinion, Sean, should I ask Tiki's opinion on the win probability or just move on? In your opinion. I'll let you decide.
I say ask him because he likes numbers.
Okay. Do you think as a broadcast it's good for ESPN to show us the win probability?
No, I agree with your take that it's going to cause people to turn the game off.
Well, look at you.
However, in games like football where win probability kind of means nothing because things can happen so quirkily, you just kind of you stick with it. Like you want to see a team go like lose, actually lose.
Yeah, no.
Whereas baseball, because it's slow and it's drawn out, you just kind of like, it's going to happen. It's inevitable.
I remember over the course of, I guess it was, the Cleveland Cavalier thing took a while.
Basketball's another one. You won't click out of basketball.
But over the course of 2016, if you saw the probability that the Warriors would win that series up 3-1, the probability that the Cleveland Indians would win the World Series up 3-1, and the probability of the election that year in which Clinton was such a huge favorite over Trump, those three events in the same year. Oh, I forgot one other. The Patriots-Falcons game from the Super Bowl. Those four events. Now, granted,
those
that was
all the same year?
Well, 2016 season, it was February of 17.
Right.
All within less than a year of each other. Less than a year of each other. You had the most improbable comeback in NBA Finals history.
Right.
One of the great comebacks in World Series history. One of the great political upsets in presidential history. And then one of the greatest comebacks in Super Bowl history. Imagine if you parlayed those four things.
Problem is you couldn't have done it at the same time.
No, I know. They're spread out.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.